Can't believe how complex pressing go can be. Andrew and Livy, we're so thrilled for you. You know, Lord bless you. We're going to pray for you this year, support you and behind you throughout this process. So let's just pray for them as this year goes on. Stand with them, encourage them. It's a big momentous moment in their lives, the life of their families. So we want the Lord to be with them through this time. So it's going to be an exciting year. 2018 is looking like an exciting year. I've got to tell you, 2018 started full on. We've got so many weddings coming up. There's another wedding over here coming up as well. It's just so exciting. It's so exciting, I've come to the conclusion, we might need some superheroes. We might need one or two people that are just better than everybody else. Is that all right? Not you ordinary, everyday, average, run-of-the-mill Christians. We need one or two superhero Christians. We need people that are better than everybody else. People with more anointing. Just one or two people. Is that all right? Forget all this we're in it together thing. Forget all this we're all part of. You know, we just need one or two people that can come in like the Lone Ranger. Neil.
That's a joke.
Your volunteer Joe. Okay, we need... I've got people walking out on me. You are my superhero. She's going to come back through that door in lycra and a cape. She would. We're in a world that loves its superheroes. We're in a world that absolutely adores superheroes at the moment. There's even a football manager that is known as the special one. You see? It's not that special, really, is it? When I was a little boy, I was very excited by some people doing something radical and new. I was weirdly excited by the Wright brothers. Does anybody know who the Wright brothers are? The Wright brothers were the first people to do powered flight. So there were lots of people gliding about and trying things out. But I was really excited by these guys because they strapped an engine on. And that's got to be a good thing, hasn't it? When you strap an engine onto anything, that has always got to be a good thing worth trying out. It's always got to be interesting. And they were the first, and I just loved that they were completely radical and insane, and they used bits of bean can and all sorts to make this engine. They were just amazing, capable people, and they flew a plane. And as a little boy, I looked at this funny little kite thing, but it wasn't the kite thing that they strapped an engine to. It was the person that was prepared to sit on it and take off. Parachutes had not been invented. And then I just thought, wow, they had vision for something. They were excited. They did something amazing. And they were superheroes. They were mega design technologies. They were rocket scientists. They had great... Do you know what they were? They had a bicycle shop. They fixed bikes. That's what they were. They were ordinary guys that had a bicycle shop. And they used bicycle parts to make their engine work, to get a kite in the air with an engine attached. How amazing is that? And I think that's what appealed to me. They weren't rocket scientists. They'd not been to Harvard. They were like guys with a bicycle. And they had vision. And I loved that. So this morning we're going to be stomping and standing again. Part three of our series. Part one, we've looked at discipleship and the journey in Christ. Part two, we've looked at identity and unity in Christ. Part three, we're going to be looking at supernatural living in Christ. Today, we're going to look at the place we're meant to dwell. We're meant to dwell on the edge. We're meant to strap a Holy Spirit engine on and take off. Every one of us. We're meant to fly by a wing and a prayer. That is what we're designed for. That is what we're for. Borderland people. People that find the edge and live on it and push the edge back. That's who we're called to be, every one of us. Does anybody here feel like a superhero that likes living on the edge and pushing the borders back? Some people do. The rest of you are thinking, do the rest of the sermon first and then I'll let you know. I'm not committing at this point. When I used to teach, I used to love setting the kids up with a question like that. And they'd say, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And then I'd tell them why they were wrong. It's a great way of learning. We're not immersed in the world, and neither are we hiding in a Christian bubble. We're in the world, but not of it. But we're not so wrapped up in our Christian bubble that we're detached from the world. We're meant to be in it. We are a tribe of people that live on the border, that walk the borders, that find the boundary and push it back, that connect into parts of our community, parts of our society that we're not meant to go near, that are meant to be a bit scary, that are meant to be a bit difficult, because they're the places we're meant to take the good news. So we don't just gather here on a Sunday morning because it's the safe place. It's the safe place. It's the bubble place. It's the place where we can be secure and then we can hide for the rest of the week. We meet here to build one another up, to send each other out. And our church needs us to find a border place. Our community and our town needs us to find a border place. You know, since we moved into this building, hasn't it been an adventure? And I don't mean inside the building. I mean outside the building. What hasn't happened down the side of Wortley Street in the last 12 months is not worth talking about. And I love that we're around so much of it. So here's the deal this year. This is not a joke now, so please don't laugh, otherwise you'll look really bad. Okay? So, we got a lot of national press attention because a couple got amorous down the side of the building. Okay? On video, and it went viral. If you don't know about that, it's been taken off YouTube, but I'm sure various people in our church have kept it on their phones, as I'll show you later. If they do, send them to me, because they're no longer members of the church. We had the Pride event last year down the side of the building we got involved in. How ace was that? I loved every minute of that. That was bonkers and wonderful all at the same time. Loved that. And then a couple of weeks ago, somebody died of a overdose in the same place. Sat on our fire escape. Church, we've got to be people that are reaching out into boundaries of our town and pushing the boundaries back. So this is quite a serious sermon this morning. You know, when I saw those flowers fastened to the banister rail and the police tape up and the police phoning to see if we've got CCTV. Church, there's an important need in our town. Whatever anybody says about our town, there's a need for a spirit-filled, passionate people that carry good news into our town. So we can squabble and fight about what should have been, could have been, ought to be, isn't, what kind of song we should sing, or what kind of song we shouldn't sing, where we should stand, where we should sit, what colour the walls should be, he once said and she once said, and well, I was hurt here. Get over it, because there's a group of people out there that need the good news of Jesus Christ, and one of them is now dead. So let's get over that stuff. And let's start finding a boundary and pushing it. Protect us from being safe, because that's the Jesus tradition, getting out there on the boundary. We're going to see this morning that the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit isn't the realm of the specialist, but the home of every Christian. You'll have noticed that this series that I'm presenting is not really well-structured, super-crafted sermon series, but more of a sharing of heart, and that's particularly what I'm doing this morning. So if I'm a little disjointed, go with me, try and catch the heart. But in it, catch the heart for the lost. Those that Jesus wants to save, that wants to rescue, that wants to connect with, whose lives he wants to rebuild and restore and renew, who wants to make into new creations, who he wants to place in this place and say, you're part of the family, you belong. When we sang earlier about that we belong, that we're part of, we were singing that in one of our songs. There are people out there that don't know the passionate love that Jesus has for them. When I take a long look around, there are times when I just think, how? How are we going to do this? And then I stand there and I think, how am I going to do this? And then I look at my sermon notes and think, whose idea was this to put me up here behind a lectern with a sermon? Who thought that was a good idea? I'm so aware of the challenges facing this amazing gathering of people called Hope House. There are so many challenges. And I've got to tell you, challenges have come thick and fast. We have hit the ground running these last few weeks. Man alive. But you know what? He defeated the grave. Yeah. He defeated the grave. He's alive. And so no matter what we face, if something amazing can happen, we can stand in worship and declare our eternity and know the truth of it. And that is a powerful thing to do. So 2018, I'm reckoning, is both going to be scary and exciting. Here's what I'm going to not prophesy, because I just know certain things. 2018 is going to categorically, radically change who we are as a people. It just will. How we're working, how we function, what's going off around this place will be massively, radically different by the end of 2018. And that's just circumstances and situations. Add to that a supernatural, almighty, amazing God. And you know 2018 is going to be a radical year. We long for the kingdom to come. But we know when we say your kingdom come that we've got to go with it. So we stand on the border looking out, ready to enter the land, extending the kingdom's borders, pushing our boundaries. And there is so much we need to do. You know, I don't want to be held back by our human frailty. I don't want to look at our building and say there's nothing we can do for 20 years because we don't have the cash to do it. So we'll just sit here waiting. We've got to be people that, despite anything, are carrying the good news out. A passionate people on fire for him. So we're going to stamp on the idea of the super Christian. We're going to stamp on the idea of the super. Who's kind of wanted to stand there? I've not got the figure for a while. No, yeah. I haven't got that thing. In fact, the woman in that superwoman picture just there, the super Christian, I don't know where she's keeping internal organs because she's so skinny. Said that last night, didn't I? I liked that joke. It was spontaneous last night and funny. Yeah, not this morning. Yeah. We're going to stamp on the idea of supernatural super Christians today because there are no super Christians. There are Christians filled with the Holy Spirit. Because God is everything to us, and his Spirit is promised to every one of us. So that way we can be better at pushing the boundary back, taking the good news out. We're going to deal with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the most amazing love story. It's a love story where one partner is demonstrating their love and involvement every moment of every day, and one partner is constantly demanding the big gesture to prove that you love me. Seriously, the big gesture happened at the cross. And every moment of every day, our God sustains us. And he pours his love onto us. And he provides for us, touches our lives, heals us, cares for us. But as Christians, don't we like the big gesture? Don't we like the big moment? Oh, if only I had the big moment. Jewelry's like this with me. I know you love me, Paul, but when was the last time I had new jewelry? Yeah, most weeks I get that. It's nearly 2 weeks since you bought me a ring. It's over a month since I had a gold necklace. It's just exhausting. You know, flowers every month would be good, wouldn't it? Every week. Has to be every week. And then little cards most days in between. Otherwise, she forgets that I love her. It's true, isn't it, Joe?
No.
Okay. But sometimes with God, we don't take notice of the fact that he's providing every single day, that his Holy Spirit is present and around us every day. We demand the big thing. We demand the big, oh, God's not moving in this place because nobody's leg grew to the right length yet. God's not moving in this place because I had one arm and now it's grown back again. I've had a miracle. We kind of want the big gesture thing to prove that God's there, when every moment of every day his Holy Spirit is present touching lives. So we're going to deal with both. I'm not going to shy away from the whole healing thing this morning. But listen, the love story of God is a story of the backdrop with the superhero society that wants superhero things happening all the time. It's a world that's always looking for superheroes. So if you're a tech geek, it's somebody like Zuckerberg and Facebook is a superhero to you. Or if you're a politician of certain persuasions, Putin might be a hero to you, or Donald Trump might be a hero to you. Someone with radical and different ideas that will challenge everything and fix everything for us is your hero. It's buying a brand new football player for the left side or midfield of Manchester United, but it seemed to me that new fellow was just everywhere on the pitch and doing nothing with anybody else. He was just doing his own thing because he's a superhero, but he'll fix it for Man U. Tottenham are looking for 11 players like that right now. We have become fascinated as a world by the possibility of the miracle of transformation. If we just had that one event or that one person, transformation would come. And the danger is we risk turning Jesus into a Marvel superhero comic. We risk turning Jesus into some sort of Superman superhero, distant, unlike us, untouchable, not close to us. And we're just puny humanity waiting to be rescued from danger. Whilst we helplessly look on, the need for a superhero leaves us in a permanent state of I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. And I've got to tell you, there are enough people in the world that don't think they're good enough without our message that says you're not good enough being reinforced. Because Jesus says you are good enough. Because he didn't just step in like a superhero and pluck us out of nowhere and rescue puny humanity. We are co-heirs with Christ. We're brothers and sisters. we belong, we're adopted, we're part of the family. That's not puny humanity rescued by a Superman who then flies off into the distance. He rescues us and makes us his own. We're part of the belonging. Once we were not a people, now we are a people. We matter. We matter. The astonishing thing is we mattered before we were saved. So we had the big moment at the cross. But if only we had a miracle every day that would fix everything. Seeing this love story, Christ loves his people and is involved and providing and connecting every moment of every day. But sometimes we only want the grand gesture, the diamond bracelet miracle. We forget the value of the constant presence and provision of the Holy Spirit for our everyday life. Now I'm going to say one or two things that might be dangerous for the sensitive of spirit. Bringing private prophecies when you're laying hands on somebody is wonderful, but it's not more holy than something else. It's not more holy than washing somebody's feet or serving them. It doesn't make us more spiritual. Shouting very loudly Bible verses does not make us more Holy Spirit filled than somebody that doesn't shout Bible verses. That's not what I'm talking about this morning. I can turn on the TV set and I can go to God Channel, Revelation, there's a whole string of them on my Freeview, and on every single one of those channels are people proclaiming miracles, transforming miracles in people's lives. This is really dangerous territory. Oh, I'm going to offend so many people right now. Listen, I believe that God can restore lives and heal people. I believe he can heal cancers, he can grow legs, he can get people out of wheelchairs. I absolutely, categorically believe that we have a healing God, and he can do that through the Holy Spirit, through his servants called Christians. I totally, categorically, philosophically, humanly, theologically believe that. Indeed, I've seen and experienced some of that stuff. But if we are only looking for the big gesture miracle as proof that God is real and God is active in our lives, we are missing the point. Because we're like children looking for a superhero. Our desire for the super, this is what I want to ask you this morning, is our desire for the supernatural experience, does it lead us to God, or does it get in the way of God really working in us supernaturally? Are we simply, God fix this, God fix this? Anybody had a small child with them? When my kids were small, they would look at me, Dad fix this, Dad fix this, Dad make it work. And strangely enough, when it goes wrong, and the phone call comes, Dad, can you just fix this? Can be anything in life, from a shelf to life itself. Dad, fix this. Then you get ignored for 6 months. Then needs fixing again. Oh. That was a bigger violin than I thought I was going to get, daughter. Yeah. Tiny violin. In Acts 22, Jesus of Nazareth, he says this, Acts 2, verse 22. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him. That's amazing. Accredited to us. We recognize him by the signs, by the wonders, by the miracles. Let's look at those words. I want to briefly explore them. Miracle, Greek word dunamis. Wonders, Greek word teras. Signs, Greek word semeion. Okay, let's just dig into those. The word for miracle is the breakout of power. The breakout of power. So that will be the healing, the instantaneous healing moment. The breakout of power. It could be the walking on water. It's that radical wow moment. Then there are wonders. What are wonders? Well, the wonders, if you look at it in context, they work like this. This shouldn't be working, but it is. Because God's involved. This shouldn't be working, but it is. Because God's involved. And then there are signs. What is a sign? Well, if you look at it in context, it effectively is saying this. There are too many coincidences happening around here to be chance. This is God lining it up. And so there are miracles, wonders, and signs. That's a kind of simplified version of what we're saying. There's the breakout of power. There's the things working that shouldn't work, and there's there the God coincidences that just keep happening. And they are the signs of the Holy Spirit at work. Each is supernatural and a direct expression of Jesus' heart for us through his Holy Spirit. The healing, the provision, the impossible situations overcome, the unity, the sharing of vision, a connection, they're all works of the Holy Spirit. We cannot be united people without the presence of the Holy Spirit. So we need to explore this morning, because I know I want to see more of the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit at Hope House Church. I want to see a greater move of the prophetic. I want to see a greater move of healing. I want to see a greater level of divine intervention, of provision for need, for people's lives, for the life of this church, for a greater sense of unity and purpose, a greater opportunity opened up for us, a greater lining up of those signs of those God coincidences happening around us. And that can only be the work of the Holy Spirit. And we need to see that released. Otherwise, we're just going to be a great church until we're gone. And we don't want to be a great church. We want to be God's church. We want to be a Holy Spirit-filled church where we're on the edge and pushing the boundary to all that God has for us. So I want to stamp on superstition this morning and stand on the truth of the Word of God. I want one of these. Anybody know what that is? That's the photograph of 10 Downing Street, and that's Theresa May's money tree that she found earlier this year when she didn't have a money tree. She found £1 billion. Who would like now to pray for a money tree to grow in our car park? Raise your hands now. Let's speak out, Lord. We just pray now for a money tree in the back of this building. Lord, would you reveal it? Would its roots be putting down strongly into the earth? Would its shoots be rising up? And would the pound signs begin to grow? Oh, the pound coins are a bit like conkers, won't they now? Lord, we pray that they... Look, you know if we grew a money tree outside, it would be a miracle. Would it not? Yeah. God, we'd get out there, yeah. It would have been stripped bare. All the fruit would be gone. A miracle would be going outside and finding a miracle money tree growing. We can pray for that all day long. But I want to tell you about a great God coincidence. I want to tell you about a miracle that has happened in Hope House Church, because I want you to understand the Holy Spirit is present in this place. Sometimes we think, where is the Holy Spirit? Oh, I've not seen somebody get out of a wheelchair, therefore the Holy Spirit is departed. Get over it. This is what the Holy Spirit looks like. I work for Holy, you know, the work of the Holy Spirit works in the wonderful coincidental provision of need being met when there is no money tree. The provision of the Holy Spirit might be the envelope that somebody's received through a letterbox when they least expected it. I've had those. I've had they couldn't get to college because there was literally no petrol in the car, and without saying a word to anybody, you get up, prepare to go to college, knowing that if you start the car, you'll not get to the end of the street, and there on the mat is a £20 note and an envelope. Exactly what you need to put petrol in the car to get to college. I've got to tell you, that's a miracle. I'm going to explain why that's a miracle. Buildings are miracles, mortgages are miracles, friendship is miracles. Meeting regularly all the time in the name of Jesus is a miracle. Connections, unlikely but regular chances that occur in our lives, a God coincidence, they're miracles. And why is this? Why does it matter? The easy miracle for God, the easy miracle for God will be to put the money tree outside that we could hide in a kingdom bubble and not push the borders. The harder miracle is the discipleship changing of a human being's heart attitude. That's the miracle. When somebody woke up and said, I really feel to put an envelope with a £20 note in it through Paul and Julie's letterbox. Why would anybody, seriously, who gets out of bed in the morning and thinks, on my way to work this morning, I'm going to put an envelope with a £20 note through Paul and Julie's letterbox? Back in the 1990s. But somebody did that. I've got to tell you, that is a work of the Holy Spirit. It may not be glamorous and exciting, but somebody's heart responded to the prompting of the Lord. We must never see as mundane those miracles. We must never see as mundane the miracle of a person standing up and saying, would you pray for me? So you know, sometimes we say at the end of a service, would you come and stand here if you want prayer? Never take that for granted. Never just take that as one of those things. That's somebody's heart saying, I just need to be touched by the Lord this morning. That's somebody saying, I actually don't know what I want this morning, but maybe if I come and stand at the front, maybe the Lord could do something. Never see as mundane the miracle of a person standing here and asking for prayer. We must never see as mundane the opportunity to lay hands on that person and to pray for them. Have you ever gone to pray for somebody and thought, I have no idea what to pray now? Should I be prophetic at this moment? Should I bring some deep word of knowledge? Should I try and well one up? I'll think of a prayer that will sound deeply prophetic right now. Does anybody else do that? Look, if the pastor of your church does it sometimes, you can admit it as well. Because sometimes you walk up to people and you can see people think, oh yeah, I got the pastor. You can see it. So come forward if you want prayer, and somebody comes to pray for them, you can see them thinking, oh, okay. Like the Lord's not going to move through that brother or sister. But if the pastor walks towards you, tell you what my mind's doing. You know, when I'm walking towards you, you're thinking, I'm going, oh, I'm going to bring a prophetic word, and this is the word the Lord has placed on my heart. You know what I'm doing when I'm walking towards you? I am thinking, oh, I bet he wants a prophetic word as well. Oh, my days. And do you know what the really annoying thing is? You pray something random, and that person then says to you, how did you know? How did you know that? That's what, oh my word, that was the Lord speaking. And you're thinking, I know, brother. I felt it as I came towards you. God is not looking for superheroes, he's looking for willing hearts that will step off the boundary. See, what he's saying is, Paul, will you step off the edge and go and pray for that person? Because if you step off the edge and go and pray for that person, you know what? You're the person that loves me. I promise you the Holy Spirit is in your life. Just your simple prayer might unlock a key. Might give you the blessed opportunity to be used and moved and bring something prophetic or powerful or encouraging in the Holy Spirit. And it might allow that person to receive it by the gift of the Holy Spirit. So it's the case of having the courage to do that. Must never see as mundane the opportunity to lay hands on people. Must never see as mundane the tears, the openness that those moments bring. And sometimes when the Holy Spirit touches us, dramatic things happen. Sometimes people fall over. Sometimes they cry out. Sometimes they just cry. Sometimes they laugh. Sometimes they just stand there. And that's fine, because the Holy Spirit knows us. We just must not see as mundane and dismiss the work of God around us at this time. So let me show you another miracle that has taken place. What you do, you take a church and you take all its wealthy people predominantly out of that church. You scatter them around the country and around the world and say it's time to move on. And you're leaving that church a bunch of people with average to low incomes. And then you say to that group of people with average to low incomes, I want to give you the opportunity to buy a building. And then you make it impossible for them to buy that building because it's too expensive. And then you create a miracle if you're God. You line up the circumstances. You realign different people's hearts. You realign how people are giving. You realign the hearts of people that own a building that aren't even Christians. You realign circumstances. You put the right people in the right place at the right time to inspire them to faith. So some people go to conferences and get prayed over and hear the prophetic words about owning buildings and moving on in God and growing kingdom. And you inspire people to faith and to financial sacrifice. So in discipleship, some people's hearts are changed completely and they give amounts of money to kingdom, to God, that they can't even imagine how it's going to work. And God steps in and does remarkable things in their lives. God adjusts the circumstances. And lo and behold, that group of people buy a building. Wouldn't that be miraculous if that ever happened? Can you imagine ever anything so ridiculous and stupid ever happening? I mean, where would that ever happen? That couldn't possibly happen, could it? Come on, you're letting me down now. Do you know of a circumstance where that may have happened? It happened right here with this group of people sat in front of me right now. God realigned hearts in this place and various people in this place said, actually, we can do that. That's not a coincidence. That's not our graft. That's not me soft-selling and soaping. That is a work of the Holy Spirit. And the only person who should receive glory for that is the Lord. Yeah. And the person that should receive encouragement for that are those people like you that stepped up in faith. So be encouraged, but know the Lord is here. Who would start an evening youth service on a Sunday night in that new building, knowing that lots of young people across the town would come and get engaged with it and we'd have a giant youth group? Who would do that and then discover that lots of hurt, needy, lost, broken people with all sorts of weird stuff going off in their life would start connecting with that meeting? And as they come to that meeting, they'd engage with the church, they become Christians, they get baptized, they become part of this family. And our youth work still doesn't get hammered by the Sunday night meeting, but you know what? People's lives get transformed. Who would have thought the friends and family that we've got in this building now that we love dearly, that are part of who we are, that we saw baptized in 2017 when we started an evening youth service. And let's be honest, most of them could have been granddads, let alone youth. But so what? God knew. That's a miracle. I could go on, and I probably will. But the miracles are happening with you today, and that's a Holy Spirit thing. But what about the big one? The one you all want to know about. What about the healing? What about that? Does it still happen today? Yes, it does. Yes, I believe that we can lay hands on people today and pray for divine intervention and see healing. I really believe it. And at the end of this meeting, you're going to get an opportunity to respond to that. But there's other ways that God can heal and move things in people's lives. See, my healing miracle occurred this way. I got a surgeon that all the other surgeons said, don't let that surgeon operate on you. Because I've got friends that were surgeons and doctors, and they all said, no! But it was too late, he'd already done the surgery. I was told that my arm wouldn't work properly again because the damage was so severe. I was told that I wouldn't have full strength and full movement in that arm. But at least it would be functional. And you know what? I have full function in that arm, I have full strength in that arm, and it hyperextends again like it did before the surgery, which they said could not possibly happen. But it does. It bends the wrong way. That's my miracle. Because God lined up a surgeon who did a great job on that day, and people prayed for me. And I believe, you know, there was God present and healing and physical brilliance, and that was my miracle. But I also believe he could have laid hands on me, and had it been right in the Lord, he could have physically healed me in the moment. Really believe that. I tell you what is a miracle as well, for a non-Christian guy that doesn't know the Lord is this morning, but Sharon's brother's just had his liver transplant and it's gone astonishingly well, and instead of spending 2 weeks in emergency, critical, whatever type of it is care is, you rock up and the next morning after his liver transplant he's sat in the chair next to the bed having a conversation. Because half of this church were praying for him on that day. And I believe that's a move of God. That's the beginning of healing. And yes, he's got a new liver and the genius of surgeons, but he shouldn't because he's tempted to get back into bed and look ill. So I believe the miracle can happen in lots of different ways. You see, we can't separate the miracle from our discipleship and need to grow in faith and knowledge personally. See, sometimes what we want to do is not be disciples. We want a miracle, but not into our discipleship. And when we separate the miracle from our discipleship, we diminish the work of God. But when the miracle becomes part of our discipleship, we are made whole and grow in God. See, how does that work? When Robert's a little boy, and he says, Dad, my bike's broken. I can take the bike off him, I can fix the bike, I can give him the bike back. There, your bike's working now. Or we can sit down and look at the bike and fix the bike together. And he understands how the bike works. And next time his bike's broken, I can say, it's your bike. You fix it. And he has the privilege and the pleasure of fixing it. And then when his little sister comes along and breaks her bike, after they've done squabbling, he can help her fix her bike. Did that ever happen? No. But when, yeah, I fixed it. So consequently, my kids still can't fix bicycles. When we separate the miracle from our discipleship, we diminish the work of God. So we don't just say, Lord, do a miracle for me. And then carry on. Actually, we need to say, Lord, do a miracle in me. Do a miracle in me. Let me see this. Let me respond to this. Let me be grown by this. Let me change by this. And the miracle becomes part of our discipleship. We're made whole and grow in God. And we can grow in faith. And we can be prepared to keep stepping out in faith. So we can be prepared to lay hands on and pray for healing. Nothing happened? That's fine. I'll lay hands on and pray for healing again. We can step up and speak out and say, this is where I feel the Lord has laid on my heart, and expand on that and grow in that and begin to move more in the Holy Spirit. I want to give you an example of how that works. Anybody know the story of the 10 lepers that Jesus told? Jesus healed some lepers. You know the story? Just for those that don't, if maybe new to church. So a bunch of lepers are kind of hanging around. This is like Paul Bedford's version. A bunch of lepers are hanging around and they're all like bits dropping off and hanging off and not like overly good looking. And Jesus comes along and he lays and they're all healed. The illness is gone. Go and show yourself to temple people so they can say that you're clean and you can enter back into society again. So they all run off. Yay, we're healed. They can enter back into society. They've still got bits, you know, missing. And one of them comes back and says, thank you. Jesus, thank you. And he's made whole. He's made whole. Got bits hanging off. He's made whole again. He's restored. See, here's the thing. Sometimes we settle for the miracle. And what we want is the relationship. One leper had a relationship with Jesus because that's what mattered. Yeah. The miracle became part of his discipleship. Church, don't pray for a miracle if you're not going to allow it to be part of your discipleship. It's got to be part of who you are. It seems when the 72 were sent out, Jesus sent out a whole bunch of his disciples, and they all went out all excited, and they were laying hands on people, and they were getting healed, and they were casting demons out, and they're having a right old time. And they came back and said, "Oh, Jesus, if you just saw what we've been doing, oh my word, the things we've, the miracles we've seen." And Jesus immediately says, "It's not about that. It's about the fact that your name's written on the book of life, inscribed on my palms. It's about the fact that you are mine, that you are saved, that you're loved by me. It's about the relationship you have with me, Jesus, your Lord and Saviour. That's what we're about." The miracles grow out of that. The miracles grow out and are strengthened and become whole in our discipleship. To only see the work of God in the unexplained, impossible miracle is to reduce our God to superstition. Same as when we elevate the private prophecy above the Word of God. You know, we have the Word of God. We stand on that. Miracles, signs, and wonders are amazing. How do you know? How do you test them? I want to give you three little, as I begin to wind up this, there are some three keys. If it's a work of the Holy Spirit, it will be purposeful and life-producing. So if you bring in a word that says, "The Lord saith unto thee, thou art a bad person, thou art a scumbag." Verily. That is not a prophetic word. Because I believe the Holy Spirit is purposeful and life-producing. It is positional and opportunity-releasing. If the Holy Spirit is moving, it changes the position and it brings and releases opportunity for kingdom. It is providential. Circumstances transform. Circumstances transform. So if you're not sure if it's the Holy Spirit, I've got to tell you, I look at people, things that people bring, things that people say, ideas that people have, and I want to weigh them against how the Holy Spirit works, against the character and heart of Jesus. What is his heart on those things? I believe we're in a time of constant miracles. We're in a time of constant miracles. There are people in this room this morning, despite the circumstances of their life, because they have a relationship with Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit, and I think that's a miracle. I think that's a miracle. Often we're looking for the spectacular, but they are the breakthrough moments that remind us his kingdom is here and yet his kingdom is coming. They remind us that we're connected to something bigger in this amazing life that we have. Even when this amazing life seems hard work, we are connected to something bigger. They exist to encourage us to go on, go into the borderland and to take territory, to carry the good news out. Two sets of verses that I just want to read to you. I'm going to invite the band back up if you would, as I whistle through this. I need to move on. Don't do that kind of just get ready to that plonky thing that you do, and the, you know, you play in a certain way, but only when the Holy Spirit's around. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 1 says this: "You'll remember, friends, that when I first came to you to let you in on God's good news masterstroke, I didn't try to impress you with polished speeches and the latest philosophy. I deliberately kept it plain and simple. First Jesus and who he is, then Jesus and what he did, Jesus crucified. I was unsure of how to go about this and felt totally inadequate. I was scared to death. If you want the truth of it, and so nothing I said I could have, if you want the truth of it, I was scared to death. And so nothing I said could have impressed you or anyone else. But the message came through anyway. God's Spirit and God's power did it, which made it clear that your life of faith is a response to God's power, not to some fancy mental or emotional footwork by me or by anyone else." It goes on to talk about that Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 4. "There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everything, everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom." Church, we need wisdom. "To another there is a message of knowledge." Church, we need knowledge. They're given by the same Spirit. "To another, faith by the same Spirit." We need faith like never before. "To another, gifts of healing." There are people in this room that need gifts of healing, that need to be healed and need to be healing. "To another, miraculous powers." "To another, prophecy." We need the prophetic now word of God. to unveil his word to us, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, that heart engagement with who he is, and still to another interpretation of tongues. And all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines, just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body. So it is with Christ. We're a hugely diverse group of people, all sorts of backgrounds, traditions, history, but we're in this place, and so we need the Holy Spirit to make us one. We need the Holy Spirit to pour out his gifts on us. In a moment, we're going to do that. We're going to do that. His promises over us are yes and amen, because we are co-heirs with Christ, one family, co-workers with Christ, one people. And in Acts chapter 2, it says he pours out his Spirit on us. 1 Corinthians 14, what then shall we say, brothers and sisters, when you come together, each one of you has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue or an interpretation. Everything must be done so the church may be built up. It's not about you looking good, it's about building up the church and glorifying God. And they're the promise of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to talk about healing. We're going to talk about laying on of hands. We're going to be talking about healing of emotion, of heart, of pouring out of his Holy Spirit. We're going to encourage one another. We're going to move from the mundane to the momentous presence of the Holy Spirit increasingly. Because church, we're living in a town that needs a Holy Spirit empowered people that can move in the prophetic, that can be in conversation with somebody in the street and we can have a word of knowledge and open up their lives. We saw Jesus do it, we saw the apostles do it. We know it's a promise of God. We need to be living that place. We need to be able to talk to an addict sat on our steps that is out of his head and then dies. We need to be able to bring the good news to that person. And I don't know how to do that, but the Holy Spirit does. We have people here that need a touch of the Lord emotionally, mentally, and physically. And I know we have a God through the Holy Spirit that can touch and transform those lives. And here's the deal. There are no superhero healing people in this room. There are no superhero prophets in this room. There are no superhero anythings in this room that are God's people. And we have an amazing super God, supernatural God who pours out his Holy Spirit in every one of us. So we're going to sing all his promises a yes and amen. And as we do that, I just want to encourage you this way. We want to pray for people this morning. Not because I'm super or my words are persuasive, but because God is amazing. And God loves us passionately. And God desires to pour his Holy Spirit on you. And you can probably sit there and give me a list of 100 reasons why you can't be prayed for this morning or why you can't pray for somebody. And probably many of them are right. But here's the deal. Our God is bigger than that. Our God is bigger. So this morning as we sing this song, maybe you want to stand where you are. And by standing where you are, so I need you to follow this instruction. That means everybody staying sat down. All right, just for a minute or two. And I'm going to pray, and if you want to, you feel you need a touch of God for whatever it might be, just for encouragement, for healing, for the need of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to ask you to stand where you are. And those people around you are going to pray for you. Okay? And then a moment or two later, I'm going to say, if you want to come forward for prayer, I'm going to invite you to come and stand in this gap at the front, and we're going to pray for you. You know, it might be that nobody feels the need to do that. And that's fine, but what I'm saying to you is we have the privilege and the opportunity and the pleasure of a loving God who wants to bless us by and through his Spirit. Maybe if you stand next to somebody this morning and you lay hands on them and you pray for them, maybe in the Holy Spirit you begin to touch their lives, begin to see their discipleship grow and change. Maybe if we pray for somebody to be healed, just maybe the Lord could touch that life, because we have a faithful God. So Lord, this morning we stand before you and we pray, would you pour your Holy Spirit on us? Lord, it is your promise, and your promise is a yes and amen. So Lord, we are before you an ordinary group of people, but we have an extraordinary God. And you have lifted us up, and you said to us, you that weren't a people, you are now my people. You've poured out your goodness on us, your salvation, you've recreated us. So Lord, we pray now, Holy Spirit, that you would touch our lives, you would touch hearts, you would touch minds, You give us a freedom, give us a willingness, give us a courage to respond to your heart, that we would not be the same people that leave this building. So let's sing this song now. Maybe you don't even know the Lord as your Saviour. Maybe you want to stand up and say, would you show me who Jesus is this morning? That's a great time to stand now. So let's worship the Lord in this song. And if somebody next to you stands up, if you're near them, would you reach over them? Would you pray for them? Would you chat to them? Would you encourage them? So as we're singing this song in worship, let's have responsive hearts. And you'll stand when you're ready. Those around you will love you, will pray for you. And I believe the Holy Spirit will be present in that situation. Amen. Let's worship God.